During the month of January, I've asked the praise team to do something a little differently as we minister. They'll start with the praise songs that the team wants to sing, their repertoire. We'll break, and then I said, I want you to come back with Romp 'em, Stomp 'em, Yay God. Songs along the line of Power in the Blood. I want to set an atmosphere of expectancy. Are you expecting in 2017? Yes. Even last week while I was at the Shea Seton, I had ministers call and say, what is God saying about 2017? Sometimes I get a lot, sometimes I get a little. But in 2017, God said, be expecting manifestations. 2017 is a season of manifestations. Things that you have believed for, prayed for, hoped for, had prophesied or promised to you, in 2017, expect them to come to pass. I said, expect them. I didn't say wait and see what happens. I said, expect them to come to pass. Amen. You have to lay hold of the promises of God. You have to draw on the anointing. You have to pull in the things of God. A lot of people think, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll get it to me. No. He said, seek me. He didn't say, wait for me. There's a world of difference. As we come to the notes today, what are you expecting from God? If in this week you've experienced physical challenges, whether there's pain in your body or symptoms, if in this week you've experienced suppression, depression, sometimes we call it a deep concern. But there are pressures of life that have opposed you. I want you to be ready to be free, because we have authority. And we can curse the work of that spirit of infirmity. We can curse the work of darkness. We can curse the lies and tricks and schemes that are assembled against us and cast them down, calling them null and void of effect, because you have authority. Amen. Our God is good. Amen. When my son was younger, we had a song that I wrote that we sang to each other. Me and my buddy, loving, loving life. Me and my buddy, loving, loving life. We sing together, play together, walk together to me and my buddy. That's me and you. And then as my grandson came along, we began to sing. Your daddy wants to walk and talk with you and sing with you. When you can make him that close and that personal that you're sharing a moment, things will change in your life. As long as he is God, distant and far in the future, someday he's going to come. But right now I just have to stumble along in the darkness. No, make place for God. Talk to him. Sing to him. Share your moments with him. Tell him, God, I hurt. God, I'm happy. Talk to him about what's going on in your life and watch what he'll do for you. Yesterday, there were a number of people who gathered together to share with Ashley at the upcoming birth of her new baby. She will have a choice when that baby comes. to draw it close and sing to it and talk to it and play with it, or put it in the crib and say, be quiet. We have that choice with our daddy God. And sometimes we put him in the book and put him on the shelf and tell him we'll see you next time. But when God becomes real enough to you that you can talk to him day or night, no matter where you are or what you're doing, your life will change. The bridge to cross over. The bridge to cross over. As I was praying and waiting on the Lord for the message today, I kicked Brian Duncan on, and I listened to Brian and then John Scott, and there Aaron Neville came on singing Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I know it's an ungodly song, although it gets picked up on a lot of gospel albums. The Bridge Over Troubled Water was written about a needle, Sail On Silver Girl, and taking narcotics to get high. But you see, God is strange. He can take something that was meant for that and bring it to this. And the Lord began to talk to me about, I am that bridge over every troubled water you'll encounter. Do you see me as your bridge? Is Michelle the only one getting cold in here? Is it cool in here? Okay, we'll toss a little warmth out. I don't want y'all to be so chattery teeth during the message that you can't understand what's going on. Your God will speak to you in anything. And as Aaron was singing Bridge Over Troubled Water, I didn't think about narcotics. I didn't think about sticking a needle in my arm, and I didn't think about an experience like that. The Lord began to deal with me and present the message for today out of something totally secular being sung on a gospel album. But he said, if you see me as your bridge over troubled waters, you'll never experience the waters that trouble. Church, that was deeper than you heard. How you see God, how you see the Lord Jesus, determines how much he can minister to you. If you see him as an ever-present help in time of need, you'll never walk alone. If you see him as distant, the God of the future, the God of someday he's going to come back, you will never experience his ever-present help. Hebrews 13:8, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What was he anointed with? And what did he give you in Acts chapter 1? The Holy Spirit and power. You are anointed with the same thing he was anointed with. And because he was anointed, he went about doing good. Not because he was the Son of God, because he was anointed. Therefore, if you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, you can go about doing good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Do you see sickness as an oppression of the devil, or do you see it as a natural consequence of life? You see, the way you see the problem determines the way you'll handle the problem. The devil would like to make you believe that you got that cold because you went outside without a coat, and it's your fault. He'd like you to believe that you haven't been eating like you should, so therefore your body is reacting. If you are taking a dozen supplements to improve your health, you're crazier than you look. You don't need a dozen supplements to improve your health. Take a good vitamin, eat right, and don't worry about it. Because the fact that you are taking the supplements says that you already worried about it. Or why would you be taking them? I have people tell me, you need to take this, you need to take that, you need to take this. Why do I need to take that if my God supplies all of my need? Now, are vitamins and supplements good? Yes. But I got something better. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and power. In your life, you've got to determine, am I going to trust God, or am I going to trust what I can do for myself? I watched a program recently on supplements, and they said many Americans are making themselves sick with the number of vitamins and minerals they're taking that their body can't digest. Well, why are they taking them then? They're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid of sickness and disease. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And because he was anointed, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What did he say to you in the last chapter of Mark? He said, these signs will follow them that believe. If you're anointed, you'll go about doing good and you'll be healing all the sick. And sometimes the first person you need to heal is you. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were oppressed or possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. How did he cast out demons? With his sonship? With his authority as the child of God? No, with the same word that you have. It is written. And he healed all that were sick. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. Do you realize that when he died on the cross, sin's ability to hold you died? But just as he put off sin at the cross and in death, you have to put it off in your daily life. Sin will hold you captive unless you hold it accountable. I said sin will hold you captive unless you hold it accountable. Pastor, how do I call sin to a place of accountability? You tell it. My Lord and Redeemer took all sin. Not my sin, not your sin. He took sin, period. Upon himself. Paid the price for it, went to the grave, and was resurrected to totally defeat it. Sin, I hold you accountable to the Word of God. The Word says you were defeated. Therefore, you have no place in my life. Now get. Sickness, I hold you accountable. You have no place in my life. My anointed Redeemer took you to the grave, defeated you, was resurrected in triumph over you, and because he lives, I am free from you. Now get out of my life. Well, Pastor, I was going to wait till Wednesday night and come to the prayer line. No, any day, all day, every day, you have authority. And if he casts out the devil with the word, then you cast out the devil with the word. He is waiting for you to say something he can act on. All the people that were brought to the anointed Redeemer, whether they were captive of demons or of sickness, of insanity or extreme anger or prejudice, nothing happened until he spoke to them. Have you learned that lesson? Nothing happened until he spoke to the situation. The storm didn't quiet because he was the Son of God. The storm was quelled because he spoke to it. The demoniac wasn't set free because he showed up and his very presence just caused demons to run in terror. No, he spoke the word and they left. The servant came unto the Lord Jesus and said, "Speak the word only, and my servant will live." There is so much revelation in that text for us today that we need to speak the word only. And we can live. Our situations can change. Our life can be different because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I speak his word, I release him into the situation. Somehow we've gotten into a false theology that we want to put Jesus on everything. But the very Jesus of Nazareth himself, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, didn't speak that name any time to heal anybody. And if he is our example, why are we trying to use a name rather than use the word? He spoke the word and healed the sick. He spoke the word and cast out the devil. He wasn't playing the name game. He was playing the it is written game. Don't let false theology rob you of the power you have as a gift from God. Speak the word only. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, sin, you can't hold me captive. I am dead to you. I died at the cross. Should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. His body was broken so ours would not have to be. His body punished with sin so we could be free from sin. His blood was shed to cleanse us from all the vestiges of sin, guilt, condemnation, sorrow, regret. He was cut off from the Father so that we could be grafted into the Father. He had to experience our sin so we could, through his triumph, be free from it. He had to experience sickness so that we, through his experience, could be free from it. He had to experience separation from God so that we, in our separation from God, could be knit together with God by embracing his resurrection life. I have learned that by embracing resurrection life concerning everything that concerns me, I can be free from it. While most of the church is celebrating the cross, there was no power released in the cross. The cross was payment. It wasn't power. The power was in the resurrection. And Jesus didn't resurrect himself from the dead. The same spirit that lives in you resurrected him from the dead, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will make your mortal body alive unto the power of God. What is that verse saying? When I come to a recognition of what raised him from the dead lives in me, death can't hold me. Well, Pastor, aren't you concerned about dying? Not a bit. There's not enough demons in hell to kill me, because resurrection life has triumphed over them already. That resurrection life has triumphed over sickness and disease, triumphed over sin and all of its ugly tenets and claws. He took our wrong to the grave so we could join him at the right hand of God. Did you know you're already judged?
Yep.
You have passed from death unto life when you received the Yeshua HaMashiach of God as your Lord. Not when you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Because that's getting saved. Getting born again is when you receive him as Lord. Yes, I want him as my Savior, but I don't want to stay there. I want to be seated together with him, and I can only do that by receiving him as my Lord. My right of access to the Father. My right of access to the empowerment of the word of truth in my lips. Did you know you don't have to be perfectly clean to speak the word? But when you speak the word, it cleanses you. Church, did you hear that secret? I don't have to be perfectly clean to speak the word. But when I speak the word I speak cleanses me. So I can come to the word unrighteous. But by putting my faith and trust in the word I'm speaking, it cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. In Luke, the fourth chapter, the first verse, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. If you notice in this verse, it said he was full of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think if we're full of the Holy Spirit, we've got the tiger by the tail. But this tells me that being full of the Holy Spirit was his entrance to temptation, tests, and trials. I was meditating this week, and the Lord presented to me, did I understand Job? And I said, I've never understood Job. He said, there's revelation in the story of Job that can help every person in your congregation. And I said, I'll bite. He said, did you note the devil had to get permission to come against Job? He said, I promise you that nothing would come against you but such as is common unto man. The devil can't just run roughshod on you anytime he wants. Because you're a child of God, he has to get permission to bring temptation, test, and trial into your life. God said, now I never tempt, test, or try any person. But I watch my children. And I allow the devil to tempt, test, and try with different things that he brings so that you can prove the growth you've established in me. The Lord said, but sadly, most Christians don't understand that. And because they don't understand it, they think they are going through something. Now, I had to pause for a moment. What do you mean, they think they are going through something? He said, they are not going through something because I would not allow anything more than they could handle to come upon them. So we are going. And I said, we? He said, yes. I'm the one that's allowing it, but I'm also the one that's restraining it, so it is never more than the power you have in your life. I said, I'm listening. He said, did you notice some people who are devout and they pray a lot, they study a lot, they're committed to God, they have hellacious things attack them? And I went, yeah. He said, that's because I know they have enough word in them to handle it if they will resort to the word. But the devil's big ploy is to make you think that you are going through something. And I said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. I am there with you because the temptation, the test, the trial came to prove how far you've advanced, not to defeat your advance. But if you don't see me in it with you, you think you're alone, and the next thing the devil has got you discouraged because you're alone fighting him. But if you can see me in the flame with you, if you can see me in the flood with you, then you will never walk alone. Now, I had a problem y'all probably won't have at that moment. I flashed back to the Righteous Brothers and wanted to sing, You'll Never Walk Alone. Almost messed up a revelation from God, but that's just the way my mind works. He said, one of the great ploys the devil's been successful at is separating you from my presence, separating you from my word. That somehow when this hellacious thing happened in your life, I wasn't there. He said, I have children who know better. Ask me out of the flame of adversity, oh God, where are you? And he said, because they've already decided I'm not with them, they don't draw upon me. But he said, there is never a flame or a flood you'll experience that I don't walk with you in it. Amen. Some of you are still wondering, Pastor, why did you bring up that silly song with you and your son? Because you need a song for you and the son. Maybe your song is, oh, how he loves you and me. Maybe your song is, I'll never walk alone. Maybe your song is, praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. Maybe your song is a simple one. Yes, Jesus loves me. And because he loves me, I'll never be alone. Do not let the devil triumph over you when you're going through adversity, through the flame or the flood, by causing you to think for a moment, I'm in this alone. Where are you, Lord? If you have to ask the question, you don't know him. But he went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, believed his Son was ready for direct face-to-face confrontation with the devil. or the devil could not have gone there. But you see, it was the Holy Spirit that led him into that place where the devil could have at him, because the Father believed he was ready for the fight. When I was a young man, I ran home once because I was attacked by a bully. And my father did the most unkind thing you can imagine. He said, "You get out there and fight him, because if you don't, you'll have to fight me when you get back in here." I didn't understand. I thought my daddy hated me. Wait, I ran in here because I was hiding from the bully. He said, "You go back out there and you take that guy down." And I had to go out there trembling, concerned about it. Now I'm all alone in this. Even my daddy has turned his back on me. But I didn't understand the love my father had for me, because he knew if I ran, I would be running the rest of my life. That time I won. But many fights I didn't win. I remember fights that my friends would drag me over under a water faucet and turn the water on to wash the blood out of my face because I couldn't see. But he couldn't whip me. We fought until we were on our knees, each of us bloody. And we just wore out ourselves and couldn't fight anymore. But I learned lesson after lesson. My father was showing me a love I didn't understand by making me go through the battle, so that I could learn what was really in me. And maybe I struck out in fear, but when I smacked him, it hurt him just as bad as if I'd have been in faith. Are you listening?
I heard that.
And I learned not to run from a fight. Unfortunately, I was stupid, and then after I'd had a number of experiences of not running from a fight, I started looking for fights. Like I said, I was stupid. But it was that pushing of my father, "You're not going to run from a bully around me. Get back out there and deal with that." Do you understand your daddy? It's saying, get out there and deal with that sickness. Get out there and deal with that fear, that doubt, that unbelief. I've given you the power. I've given you the authority. I've given you the ability. Now, my father hadn't left me unarmed. He put me at an early age in judo, and then I took boxing and aikido and karate. I had skills. I just didn't have faith in those. Are you listening, church? I had skills. I didn't have faith in those skills. My father didn't throw me out as a helpless babe to fight. He knew there was fight in me. I'd been trained. But in a moment of fear, I forgot the training, because I didn't want to hurt. But when I realized running hurt more than the fists would, something changed. Do you realize that running hurts more than the trial, the temptation, the test? And your daddy wants you to go through it not to suffer, not to lose, but to prove what's already in you. As you read these passages, drop down to the 14th verse. You know the story of all the temptations, tests that came mentally, spiritually, physically against our Lord and Redeemer. And the Word saw him through each one of them. Not God intervening, not angels showing up, not someone coming to take up his fight. The Word, spoken out of his mouth, defeated the mental, spiritual, and physical attack. And in verse 14, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. How did he get from being full of the Spirit to being in the power of the Spirit? He won the fight. He overcame the pressure that came against him with "It is written," and went from being full of the Holy Spirit to being in the power of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot be in the power of the Holy Spirit until you release what you're full of. Do you realize that he could have been defeated full of the Holy Spirit? All that was necessary was not to see the Word as greater than the challenge. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. How did he get the power of the Holy Spirit? By letting the Word fight his battles. Church, there is so much revelation for you in that little text. How do you get in the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to fast. You can't get it that way. I'm going to pray. You can't get it that way. You can get full of the Holy Spirit fasting. You can get full of the Holy Spirit praying. But you don't get in the power of the Holy Spirit until you turn him loose to work for you. And once you turn him loose to work for you, the next thing you know, you're turning him loose to work for someone else. Before Jesus healed anybody else, he had to triumph. He had to win the battle. He had to overcome the fight. Church, if you'll go through the flame, through the flood, through the fight, and not run from it, pretty soon the power of the Holy Spirit will be flowing through you to set captives free, to heal the sick and raise the dead. Some through the flame, some through the flood. Our Lord went through the fiery tests to show us the way to power. The way to power is through the fight, not running from it, not asking God to fight it for us, but standing up and going, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Sickness, you can't have me. Death, you can't have me. Poverty, you can't have me. Worry, you can't hold me captive. Fear, you have no place in my life. I've been given a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. There is no place for fear in my life. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand. What did Jesus have to do to stand? Speak the word is correct, but there was something before that. Believe the word. Believe the word, but there's something before that. I'm trying to help you here, church. When the fiery trial knocks on Kenneth's door, when the evil wrath of Satan knocks on Rosie's door, how do we handle it? Having done all to stand. What does that mean, having done all to stand? Yes, I've believed the word. Yes, I'm making my stand on the Word. But what is the turning point to making a stand? Just as Jesus in the wilderness had to come to that point where he realized, it is up to me to enforce what my Father has filled me with. You can't stand as long as there's plan B. You can't stand as long as there's another option on the table. You can only stand when you make that decision that the word of truth in my mouth is more powerful than anything that's arrayed against me. And this battle was won for me 2,000 years ago. It's up to me to enforce Satan's defeat. Because a defeated Satan can defeat me if I don't enforce the defeat that he has already endured. What does it take to stand? Believing the word, speaking the word, yes. But before that, you've got to make that decision. There ain't no other way but the word way. I'm making my stand on what God said, and what God said will see me through. I have a bridge over this troubled water. It is written. I've got good news for you. The bully is coming. And in grade school, I learned there was only one way to handle a bully. You got to beat him down. You can't argue with him. You can't hide from him. You can't debate him. You got to beat him down. And when you beat him down, you realize what was already in you. But Pastor Jim, I'm afraid. I was terrified. I passed afraid a long time ago. But when that afraid and terror was loosed to recompense the wrong that had been done, something happens when you're standing over your enemy and they're on the ground and you're standing. And you go, well, I did that. I can do it again. Maybe you whip a headache. Maybe you whip a past due rent. Maybe you whip a car breakdown. Maybe you whip a challenge to your faith. But once you win a battle, you become a different person. Your daddy is waiting in the wings. And he has looked at you and he said, I see Winnie, she can handle this. Go ahead, devil. Give it your best shot. She's going to come out of this. Your God has more faith in you than you do. Do you realize that every time the devil attacks you, Brother Friday, that's an indication that God has faith in your ability, or the devil couldn't have attacked you? He has got to go through your daddy to get at you. And your daddy is saying, I believe they're ready. If God has that much faith in you, can you have that much faith in him? That he already knows I can handle this. He already knows I can triumph over it. He already knows greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But he wants me to know it. I don't care how many classes you've taken in self-defense. They don't mean anything until you've applied the lesson and found the benefit thereof. Having done all to stand, then stand with "It is written." The flame and the flood will pass, but the blood will never lose its power. Amen. As we are preparing to come to the communion table today, you may have experienced things this week that challenged your faith. You may have experienced things this week that made you wonder, am I alone or not? At the communion table, you have the ability to draw upon a 2,000-year-old victory. We come to communion to remember what belongs to us. At the communion table, we stop, and God gave us visuals. His body was broken, so ours doesn't have to be. His blood was shed to set us free. We have the blood, we have the bread, symbols to remind us of the victory that was won for us. He said, when you come to the communion table, remember, take time to think about the battle's already won. The victory is already wrought. All I have to do is accept it as my victory. The Lord, our Redeemer, died for every person to be free from death, hell, and the grave. But not everybody will accept it. The Lord suffered in His physical body so you don't have to be, but not everyone will accept it. The Lord bore your judgment. Have you accepted it? There is no one that's special or different from you. All you've got to do is accept what He provided for you. When you understand the lesson that I just talked to you, then you understand what the Scripture means when it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, tests, and trial, knowing the only reason it's there is so you can prove you're bigger than it. There's not a bully out there that can whip you. There's not a sickness that can keep you captive. There's not a fear that can overwhelm you. If in faith you decree, I am free, I am washed, I am whole. This battle was already won 2,000 years ago. I will not be held captive by what's already been paid for. If you went to a restaurant today and someone had already paid for your lunch, you wouldn't let the restaurant charge you again. You'd say, no, it's already paid for. So-and-so paid for it. You're not going to charge me for what's already paid for. Tell the devil, you're not going to charge me for this sickness. You're not going to charge me with this fear, this doubt, this unbelief. It's already paid for. I don't owe the bill. I get to freely partake of the victory because it belongs to me. It was given to me. It's mine by divine decree. Now, I said earlier, if you've had physical symptoms, pressures, oppression, suppression, regression, whatever this week, tell it to get. Devil, you see this? This reminds me of my victory. The battle has been won. The price has been paid. I am free by the blood of the Lamb. I joyfully take this bread into my mouth, knowing it is the symbol of my freedom from sickness and disease. Together. And now I take this cup, which says I'm free from sin, from judgment, from guilt, from worry, not because of anything I did, but because of what I receive, the free gift of His Lordship in my life. Under His Lordship, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And together, now by the name of the blood of the Lamb, I curse and cast down every tongue rising against you in judgment. Every curse, every incantation, every soulless prayer, I decree is defeated by the blood of the Lamb. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are the blessed of the Lord. And nothing shall by any means hold you captive if you will but stand as one with the Word. Make the decision. The victory is already mine. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and the devil's trying to steal my healing. I'm not trying to get free. I'm already free. Let the blood fight your battle. Let His stripes be your victory. This week as never before, walk in victory, knowing that nothing shall by any means harm me, because it is written, has made a way for me. I call you the blessed of the Lord. Go with God and rejoice in your salvation. Amen.